Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. Joining me, Devin Murphy, Anthony Garino.
Hi.
Hello.
We're not on the highway, though, so it's not really accurate.
Yeah, I know. We were just, the name of the podcast, you know? So we just played some golf.
Does your audience know that you're deceiving them? That you're not actually in a car driving?
Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm not. You know, I'm not going to be held down by the title every day to arrange those circumstances, you know?
Do you indicate when you are and when you aren't?
I usually shout out where we're from.
Anthony did it this time.
We're in Anthony's apartment right now. So
we're in a kitchen. So, right. Like, a kitchen is actually, like, the inverse of
the highway.
It
sounds like a totally different show.
One over highway.
Seems like you're, it's like you're domesticated versus you're actually like on the road, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
See what you're saying.
Yan.
So we all worked on Here Comes Godot. Go to herecomesgodot.com before you even listen to any. What are you doing? Here Comes Godot is online right now.
And that's Godot, G-O-D-O-T.
Yeah. So, Devin Murphy, you're the director.
That's
we finally had a premiere like last month or whatever. It's online. How do you feel? What's going on?
I thought the premiere was great. You got a lot of really good feedback. Everyone who came seemed pretty happy with the result. And it was a blast. And now it's online and anyone can check it out.
Yeah. Now it's just a matter of getting the ball rolling, you know, building buzz, letting people know what the fuck we just did. What we just laid on them. You know what I mean?
Getting the bumblebee out there.
Very obscure reference.
Making honey.
Very obscure.
You let the bee out of his hive. It's like, I'm not familiar with this. I like a flower.
Yeah.
But eventually, he finds his way home. Much like the
bees
show.
Bees always know their way home.
Much like the show.
So, also, I want to say, click through the Amazon link on the Highway Diary RSS feed. Bumps a little money back to the show. And I got some shows coming up, stand-up-wise. 529, May 29th, 9:30 at the Yoo-Hoo Room, Flappers, Burbank. And July 13th, 7:30 p.m., Pasadena, Ice House, Stage 2. So check me out, it's doing some stand-up. Anyone got anything they want to talk about as far as plug-wise? Except for Here Comes Godot. AnthonyGarino.com, HereComesGodot.com, EricHollerbach.com. Any plugs? Okay, cool. So, we just played some golf, you know, we're always playing chip and putts. And
I'm tight now.
We played for like played for like 5 hours today. That's all we did.
A good long run.
Yeah.
In two different locations, too.
Yeah, we warmed up in Griffith Park at the driving range and then took it down to Los Feliz where they just laid down some nice sod. Fucking great.
And, you know, I wish this was kind of like a kind of a visual podcast because you can't really describe how nice the sod really was.
Yeah,
it was just it's fresh.
It's very hard not to after every hole just to kind of like lay your face in the sod, really get into.
You
it.
Might have got that. You had that inclination too.
But yeah, I was. Yeah. I was just kind
you
of.
You
want like,
to get in there?
It's just like a very soft moss that it'll just like catch you if you fall into it.
I was losing balls just getting chances to hide and go in it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just want to, like, take, like, strips of the sod and, like, roll yourself into them, you know what I mean? Just so you can be completely encapsulated.
If I weren't married, I don't know what I'd do, but, you know.
You got a long distance look in your eyes about the sod somehow.
It's just not, I mean, you can appreciate, can't hurt to look and occasionally roll around and also sometimes touch your tongue to it.
Do you guys have any kind of, like, rules as far as, like, how far you can go with sod, like, with the marriage, you know, staying intact? Did you guys work out any of those?
I think we have like one mulligan each for like really good sod.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of like, you know, like celebrity sod, you know, like if it's like, you know, Appalachian sod or like, you know, freshly laid, then.
How far outside the species is it not cheating anymore? Like, let's say you gave like a dog a hand job and gave it a red rocket. Is that cheating? Or would you actually have to penetrate a gorilla?
What's a red rocket? I can follow the hand job. The red rocket.
Red rocket's a dog penis. Just
a dog
is a red rocket. Yeah.
It kind of comes
out
like lipstick.
Yeah, it comes out. It's pretty gross.
So if you gave, you know, or if you, so is that any of that cheating? What do you think?
You know, I guess it depends.
Depends on how old the dog is.
Yeah. How into it the dog was. A lot of variables.
Right.
That maybe can't be, like, really figured out unless you had, like, videotape footage to really kind of look back and watch the tape.
So, like, a case by case, like, how into it is the person?
Yeah. because there are many variables to a good experience. You can't, you know, you can't just blame one thing or attribute one thing.
If the pooch is, if the pooch is, I don't know, if the pooch is like hot to trot, I'm just trying to help it. Then
hypoallergenic dogs actually, great.
They're just good for people who have allergies.
Just good, like I have asthma. I'll keep one of them around.
It's like no matter how much you can vigorously masturbate it, no dander's coming off that skin. It's like
it stays.
You're not going to be sneezing.
It's like it lives in a bubble of like human hair.
Yeah.
So it's cool. You know, I never thought actually like hypoallergenic dogs are actually really good for people who have allergies.
Yeah, I think that's agreed. Wow,
we're
really solving some problems here.
It was cool how you touched rim on the golf course.
Yeah.
I didn't think you could get that much
inside
air.
Inside the batting cage?
Yeah, you know?
I didn't think you could palm the golf ball either, which you did.
I dunked it.
And every time you dunked, you would kind of pound your chest and be like, ah!
I just wanted an opportunity to lay on that sod, you know? So if I felt like if I dunked the golf ball, then at least I would just get to stroke my face against the sod just for a moment, you know? Feel as warm.
I liked when you screamed, I'm a grown-ass man, after every putt.
Well, that was just because, you know, I felt like...
immature.
Yeah, people were saying I was, like, immaturely playing golf.
Even though no one was saying that, but you kind of...
Felt like the way people were mad-dogging me.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I mean? I was staring at them, too, but then... And then it was like, hey, kid, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm a grown-ass man! Like, just, that's what was coming out.
It's kind of like a preemptive.
It was just coming out. A lot of that was coming out for me that day, so... Yeah.
It's like, I know what you might be, what your opinion of me might be.
And
not the case.
Just so you know, I'm going to put the brakes on that before that even gets started. I'm a grown-ass man, you know, so it was just something.
I shave, for one, okay?
Yeah.
I shower when I say, and if I want to stay up past bedtime, then, you know.
That's what I'm going to fucking do.
And if I get cranky, then that would really suck. And
it's something other people have to deal with, other than me. You gotta time your edibles, because you're going to be bad. You're gonna be terrible for at least 3 holes while it works its way through you.
I think I had the adverse effect where I peaked, and I had a pretty good lead for a while.
Yeah.
That was the second round, yeah.
But it's funny, because I'm looking at the scorecard here, and it's like you can definitely see when the edible happened, because like at hole 3, you're minus 3, then at hole 4, you're minus 5, then you go minus 4, 3, 2, then I take the lead. And it's like, that's you coming off it. I'm ready to go again. I like fucked up, you know, in the early games I was like 5, 6, 6, and then 4, 4, 3, you know, then I came back.
I did some whippets on the third hole. It didn't help, or it had no effect. It was just kind of, everything was slow motion for me.
It was just like, oh, go, 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 go. Womp, 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 womp. And then it came back.
Running around golf clubs.
I should have done it like right as I teed off.
Yeah.
Every time. I probably need a caddy to take the whip.
Take it from you?
Yeah. To like do it in my mouth and then take it away. It's like, whoa.
Just hit bucket.
Yeah. Jack Nicklaus used to do it. And Jack Nicholson.
And Arnold Palmer. Yeah. That was the original Arnold Palmer.
Yeah,
like, well,
it's like you do whip it and then you drink a lemonade iced tea real fast.
You drink it really fast.
But then they sanitized it for the public.
So Arizona iced tea could market it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Arnold Palmer was originally lemonade and a whip it. It was like so good. What do you love second best? Is that like iced tea? No, he was like hot tea.
He'd do weird shit. He would like put the whip it under the Arnold Palmer and like huff it as it came through the iced tea and then suck through the straw. He had a whole process.
He's like, hot tea and lemonade. Arnold, they don't seem like they go well together.
Yeah.
He's like, no, because the lemonade cools off the tea and the tea warms up the lemonade.
Yeah. And then the whip it freezes everything down.
Warm summer days.
Donald Sterling. I keep going to fucking open mics and everyone's talking about Donald Sterling. This MC was just like, Donald Sterling. When he had nothing, when he like ran out of jokes, he would just start saying Donald Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not a full, coherent thought.
Yeah, you can't just, like, name drop people.
Yeah.
Or, like, put them into a place outside where you'd expect them and, like, expect that to be comedy. That's what, like, those guys who do, like, like date movie and epic movie and like Meet the Spartans and shit like that. That's what they do. They just take characters and like they remove them from like the setting they came from and put them in a new setting.
Yeah.
And suddenly that's fucking funny.
It's like, oh, all
people
these Spartans are
it,
running
but,
up
yeah.
and then Justin Bieber's there and
holy
he does a pop
shit.
Dance and then he's cut
shit.
In half. Oh!
I recognize that, so I think it's funny.
I read a book about stand-up comedy in Barnes & Noble today, so I know, like, the classic setup punchline stuff, so I could probably, like, do 5 minutes on Donald Sterling right now.
So you're just saying, because you know the formula, you can just stamp in, and then a joke
yeah.
comes out,
yes,
if
I'll
you know
the
formula.
I'll do the setup, and then I'll come up with the punchline.
Okay, so Donald Sterling plus... Okay, sorry.
So, Donald Sterling
mm-hmm.
came over to my house for breakfast the other day.
Early?
Yeah. He had York peppermint patties.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what he had, which is not traditional for breakfast. It's a candy. So me and Donald Sterling are on a kayak.
Yeah.
And I'm in front, he's in back. We both have the inflatables are in our arms.
Yeah,
case,
water wings.
In case the canoe tips over.
Sure.
I said, how you doing back there, Donald? I said, I'm sure glad that we packed some of your peppermint patties before left.
Yeah.
Because I'm starting to feel peckish. I'm not going to eat one now. But the foil container will protect them, just in case we get wet.
Yeah. It's good to plan ahead for your voyages, you know?
That actually reminds me of a time I was hang gliding with Donald Sterling.
Oh, really?
And he's behind me.
Was it early?
It was early in the day.
Did he pack fruit?
He didn't.
Oh,
but he's behind me, right?
Okay.
And I feel something in kind of lower my... I'm like, is this guy, is he getting, you know, aroused? I'm like, Donald, is that you? And he's like, nope. That's one of my York peppermint patties. I had to put it in my pouch up front.
Oh, right, right.
So I put the pouch,
a sleeve of peppermint patties?
I put the pouch at an angle so it wouldn't fall out in case we crash. I'm like,
that's...
this guy loves these.
Yeah.
And then he ate it, and then you felt another bulge. And you're like, hey, Donald, sir, like, what's going on back there? He's like, I'm aroused.
But not from you, from the York peppermint patties, which were delicious. I just had one.
Just because a billionaire, like if a billionaire all of a sudden gets Alzheimer's and then they just talk crazy stuff, then someone's allowed to like record his ramblings and then be like, oh, you owe me $2.5 million because you said this. You owe me $6.8 million. You know what he's saying? Fine, left, right, and center.
We know, but he kind of deserves it though because he's...
I'm saying fuck that guy. He's an old cunt. But, I mean, still, you can't go... I just think it's like, obviously, when your mind starts rattling, shouldn't you be less
responsible? Racist before?
I totally think he's racist. I totally think he should be shot in an alley. But it's like...
it's him losing property for his opinions.
Yeah.
It
is weird where it's like your freedom of speech is kind of like, you if you're a certain billionaire.
Yeah, but the thing is, like... it's like the NBA, you know, like it's an organization. It's not like some, you know what I mean? Like they're allowed to do whatever they want.
Right.
You know, it's like, fuck that guy.
And he is like trying to go to court to like keep being the owner, even though they're going to sell the team and give him all the money. He's like, no, I still want to be the fucking owner. I still want to be in there and making the decisions.
He's like so like old and kooky, probably like he's like, probably the money doesn't even mean anything to him. He just like wants to be like... like a petulant child who, like, you know, stamps his feet and, like, he's like, I want more peppermint patties. I'm entitled to them. I want to eat them. I'm hungry for them.
Yeah.
I'll skip breakfast. No, it's not acceptable. Even though it is early.
Didn't you just have them for breakfast, Donald Sterling?
Yeah. And are you aroused right now?
Yeah.
He was.
Is Donald Sterling's skin, like, hypoallergenic? Like, does he give off a lot of, like, dander when you rub up against him? Or is he, like, pretty...
It's like a snake skin.
He is kind of like one of those old fucking lizards.
Like where he is in a cycle of losing it and growing a new one.
Yeah. In a cycle of molting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good setup delivery. In his defense, he was molting. Set up and then just the punchline's right there.
Yeah.
And they're just like, it is.
So Brentwood is kind of like the ritzy area, you know, it's a very wealthy area in Los Angeles.
Hills.
And very near it is something called the Murphy Ranch. And inside the Murphy Ranch is like, you know, there's a little bit of a Nazi base. Now, it used to be a Nazi base where neo-Nazis would hang out. And
well, they weren't neo-Nazis then because they were like before, like, this was like the 30s.
Right. So they were, like, proper Nazis.
Yeah, they were Nazi sympathizers, so they were proper fascists.
Retro Nazis.
Yeah,
retro Nazis.
Right.
So
yeah.
They kind of had to recede from the rest of society and be like,
yeah,
you know, we have value into this Nazi thing.
Yeah, that's a weird thing about neo-Nazis. Like, neo-Nazis always have, like, shaved heads.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, old-school Nazis never had shaved heads. They always had, like, nice little German, like, comb overs,
yeah,
and shit,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they were kind of proper and pomaded.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, then we're,
yeah,
new Nazis. We don't want to...
Neo-Nazis just want to look tough, I guess.
We're like new Nazis. We're like,
yeah,
not like that.
No, we're like future Nazis. Like, we, you know.
Yeah. They're like...
They really felt at home during, like, the 80s.
Yeah.
Because, like, they were well represented in every movie that had, like, a dystopian future.
Are they just going through that, like, white power thing? Like, is that why? Because, like, some of the white power people would shave their heads, right?
I don't know why.
Just to have more whiteness emanating off them.
Is
just,
that why?
There's no,
like a light bulb?
There's no, like, black hair that's, like interrupting their fucking lightness.
I don't really understand the reasoning behind it.
Yeah.
That's probably something.
No. I think they're badass.
But then, after a while, then the...
Oh, yeah.
After
World
War
II. So they built up this ranch, and it's like a compound, and they had, like, you know, like, they built a compound there with, like, a barn, and, like, they had everything they needed.
I mean, the fascists actually were pretty organized. They had a little society out there.
Their plans were that... They saw what Hitler was doing in Europe, and they figured he was eventually going to come to America, and when he did, he was going to conquer America, and after he conquered, they would hide in their bunker while the warfare was going on, and then they would emerge to greet their Nazi victors.
Right.
Their overlords, Nazi overlords, and that was their plan. So they built up this whole community and compound.
They're like, hey, we already have a couple acres that are this Nazi shit.
It's
we know,
like,
it's just
going
to float.
Between, yeah, it's in the Santa Monica mountain range.
Right.
It's like in between mountains, completely secluded. Before it was all developed.
We're ahead of the curve,
yeah,
because we already are
they
Nazis.
They had some shit going on. And then, you know, Pearl Harbor happened, and then the government, the feds were just like, and that's the end of this.
Yeah.
They just raided with guns, and they're like, yeah, you guys are all going to jail.
You
and
say
that was that.
You say they said, like, we have a bar, we have everything we need, or we have a barn, we have everything.
A barn.
Oh.
A bar would be better for
yeah.
Nazi sympathizers.
We
got
a bar.
Yeah.
Everything we need. It's just like, they don't even have any booze, it's just like a nice, really nice bar.
Yeah.
It's like oak finish.
Mahogany, yeah. Just, like, sanded the shit out of it.
Check it out. You think a non-white Aryan could have made a bar? This is just...
This is carpentry.
Nice.
It's, yeah, it's very well put together. Nice even rows of rivets, you know? They really put it their silos together, their grain silos. Then, after they got flushed out, then it was squatters
in the
60s,
a,
right?
It was an artist colony, yeah.
Right. Bunch of hippies moved in.
I don't know the extent of it. They could be bordering on squatters.
Well, let's.
But I like that you jumped to squatters because you knew there were hippies involved. So you made them one and the same.
Well, it's like, oh, these apartments and this barn has been vacated. We didn't build it, but hey, let's just fucking move
no
in.
No one's using it, brother.
No one's using it. Let's just fucking.
Oh,
paint,
yeah. Keep in
sense.
Mind, these were the original hippies too.
Right.
So these aren't like the granola.
They're not the neo hippies.
Yeah, they
were the first
they
ones.
They don't shave their heads.
Yeah,
right.
They all have nice comb overs.
Big bushy beards.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So they had it for a little while, and then they left, and then that's when I think squatters came.
Yeah.
And it's just been dilapidated and, like, you know, it's been left to the fucking. It's all graffiti now, which is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you see film kids there all the time shooting their horror movies.
Yeah.
So then, that's what you do in, like, film school.
Yeah, and then we hiked it, and then we, you know, there's a lot of parts where you can just, like, stand on, like, the roof and stuff. It's kind of dangerous. You could, like, you know, smash through it, and, like,
yeah.
It could kind of, it's a lot of it's falling apart, so.
Yeah, there's still a stable where they had, like, horses and stuff.
And then if you fall through and you, like, land... On the bar, Donald Sterling would come running out of there. You fucked up my bar. I had York Peppermint patties in there.
I got a fucking year's worth, so.
Classic. Just set up and then
Sterling.
Just
boom.
There's the punchline right there.
He's like, I got all these peppermint patties for when the Nazis take over. It's like, got them all in like a glass case. Like, break when Hitler comes in. First gift for him. He's got it all ready. And you're doing poetry night, Devin. You're at the place, the Cat and the Lotus, every now and then. You go and you watch poetry.
It's a pretty good crowd, actually. Yeah, it's a Cat and the Lotus. It's the same place where we did the Godot screening.
Yeah.
I actually met the owner, Nancy Ruff. I met her through this poetry thing that I started performing there once a month. And yeah, now I'm on the bill. I'm one of the featured poets, so I perform. It's the first Friday of every month. It's a great crowd, great turnout. It's definitely...
There's some wine and cheese and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, they have wine there. They have cheese and stuff like that. And a lot of great people come out, you know? It's a good community.
Awesome.
I tell you, man, I've been fucking down in diet sense because, like, there's no doubt. It's like orange juice without the guilt.
You have a lot
like orange juice without the guilt.
You have a lot
diet soda.
You have a lot of guilt associated with your orange juice consumption.
It's like it doesn't feel.
Depends on how fresh it is.
Do you want to talk about it? It's like it seems like it's bringing up a lot of stuff.
It's like not. Yes. It's just not cool that something should.
What?
Only people or and then. It's all, but for what? And the rest of it is just like whatever.
You're just picking up the pieces.
It's not
from
gonna
there.
Be okay. It's not gonna be okay.
Yeah. So that's how you feel about orange juice.
It's a mandatory crying session every 5 minutes. Remember, you remember vocal artist Lou Vega?
Yeah.
Remember his hit song, Mamba number 5? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody in the car, so come on, let's ride to the liquor store around the corner. How influenced do you think that song was by the geopolitics of the day? I'm talking like late 90s.
It was like 1999, yeah.
Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Yeah.
Kosovo.
You can, if you really looked at like a timeline of the events of what's going on right now in the Ukraine where Putin's trying to take over, I think Mambo number 5 was sort of like the first.
It's kind of blow by blow.
I think if you look at where the dominoes roll from right there,
yeah.
It's like it's all lines up.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. America by my side, a little bit of Rita's all I need, a little bit of Tina's what I see. And no coincidence that, you know, Russians get their fucking feet in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like,
and
15 years later.
Yeah.
I don't approve of Putin's politics, but he's a talented musician. Everything like
I hear he still plays the same guitar he got when he was 13.
Yeah.
There is this weird story of Putin. Like, first of all, during the Olympics, there's weird pictures, kind of like in North Korea, where like Kim Jong-un is like the religion. He is like the Jesus of North Korea. In Russia, I think Putin's very much trying to do the same thing. And so, like, he'll load up every single international hotel room where in every single room is pictures of him, like, throwing spears at fish in a river, shirtless, and just, like, or riding a horse shirtless. It's like, he wants you to know that he's out there. He's an adventure man. You see, he's an outdoorsman.
That thing recently where he was playing, a hockey game for charity against like professional hockey players, and he scored like 3 goals and hit an assist.
Yeah. you're wondering how much people are kind of letting him win, you know, when he can just have you assassinated.
And there's a lot of stuff with him with no shirt on, and he looks like kind of like old time strong, you know.
But
like
it's like it's like the Russian like myth of a man, you
but
know,
it's like
right?
High
it's
pants
like,
and like kind of
yeah,
like,
exactly. It's like
not
it's like old school weightlifters, you know, guys used to lift kettlebells and like wear their pants up to their above their belly buttons. I could shave their heads, you know?
Where it's like he still does like the old style of boxing where like his left hand is like way extended and it's right next to his chin.
Or they had sweet comeovers.
Yeah.
And so the two hairstyles actually mingled for a time before they went their separate ways. One to the Nazis, one to the hippies.
Neo-Putins.
It really all started with Mambo number 5 again if you track out the timeline.
Yeah.
But there was one time where, you know, Obama was in Russia for the Olympics and Putin was in Russia for the Olympics and their schedules clashed. So instead of, and where they both had to like work out, but they, with their Secret Service and stuff, they couldn't use the same hotel gym.
Yeah.
So Putin kept his appointment, but then he went to swim in the lake outside for his workout while, you know, Obama had his little workout on the little bicycle, you know, a little... You know, stationary bicycle inside the gym, and he's like, I want, and he like made sure that Obama would see him from the window, like fucking doing laps in a river outside, like catching fucking fish in his teeth.
Putin's, Vladimir Putin's favorite sandwich?
Yeah. The Reuben?
That's the BLT. But a side of Russian dressing.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is, they call it Dazna.
Over there?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. So call it Russian dressing?
It's redundant. It's like,
yeah.
You know.
It's just dressing.
It's like New York pizza. It's like, no.
Yeah.
I'm in New York,
they
have pizza.
Yeah. They call it Manhattan pizza.
Yeah. Call it Dazna pizza.
So, is the Russia hat that you wear, Eric? Is that for support of the Russian
yeah.
Putin?
Well,
Putin
it's mainly
being a gangster.
Well, it's mainly so my head doesn't burn when we're golfing. But yeah, but I do. I am a fan of any kind of dictator who wants photographs of himself. Like I'm like such a. I think it's so fascinating.
All dictators want photographs of themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No,
the
humble dictator.
Patties.
Like, no, don't put stuff of me. I hate pictures of myself. Can I see it? Oh, I hate it. No, it's not.
Scared as I have a servant wiping my royal ass, I'm all alone.
But he's not alone because he has a servant wiping his ass.
He doesn't consider him
equal. No, this is like what Putin sings to himself at night. Yeah.
Looking at him without a shirt.
He just like he just like walks through like a Russian torture chamber where like people with like radical ideas are being like like waterboarded, and he's just like, all alone I feel. As I flip the switch.
he's got a but his like Manny like supervisor, like head guy, like his man butler.
Yeah.
Kinda like the butler in Arthur, you know? Who cares?
Yeah.
Is actually a 56-year-old guy from Chicago.
He's like a father figure to him. It kinda like, you know, Putin wakes up in like a race car, like, you know, and has like a basketball court like in his room and stuff, and he's like really kind of immature, and then like the butler's like, hey, you know, get a suit on, you gotta go give a speech right now, and he's like, I don't want to
I feel stupid. He's like, come on,
and he's like, somewhere out there someone is waiting for me.
It's like, you know what would make you happy? A Chicago-style hot dog with sport peppers, neon relish, tomato, and onions all in a seeded Kaiser roll. That's got to be my favorite kind of hot dog. It's like, I better put and hug them.
Yeah.
Ah, that tight. That hug's tight. Tighter than a hot dog snuggled in between a Kaiser roll. Squished up there with sport peppers, neon relish, tomatoes, onions.
Who is Kaiser? Isn't he some kind of German figure of some sort?
Kaiser?
Yeah, where's Kaiser come from?
Yeah.
It's like emperor in
German.
And Kaiser rolls, so they're named because it's the king of rolls.
Yeah.
It rules over all other rolls.
All the other rolls are subject.
It's a nationalist roll that would dominate other rolls and see them as well. We're going head-to-head, like, roll battles. Kaiser roll versus poppy seed, like, dinner bun? It's not even a question of who's gonna win. It's a question of when. And probably pretty soon.
In any kind of political race or debate situation, I mean,
the
Kaiser roll's gonna...
Definitely got the head and shoulders above any type of other bread that is built for carrying a hot dog.
Like a real dense pumpernickel might give a Kaiser roll a run for its money, though.
Not even a question, because what you got with a Kaiser roll is you get a nice hard exterior that's been oven baked with seeds for texture. On the inside, it's soft enough to hold something as slippery as neon relish, as dense as a tomato, or as meaty as a hot dog, Chicago style.
There's a lot of like structural integrity, while at the same time being like crispy and like.
Not to mention
part.
That if you bite into it extra hard and the sport pepper squirt, which they will because they're filled with spicy juices, the Kaiser roll can handle it. Both on a subcutaneous level, like talking about molecularly, and also in terms of just kind of just straight up being able to absorb it while not losing its own structural integrity.
Yeah, it's like a dense sponge which can absorb the flavor, incorporate it, and like give out really harsh dictatorial sentencing if a subject gets out of line, you know?
It's firm-willed and gentle, with the tough mothering that you've always wanted, and the soft fathering you've always thought you deserved.
Yeah.
I'm a kid, I got my Halloween trick-or-treat bag, right? I'm walking around the neighborhood, oh, it's Mr. Kaiser Roll's house. Let me go ring the bell, open it up. Oh, who's there? Consistency.
Halloween, was that a big thing for you? I remember just getting pounds and pounds of candy. And then I would hoard it, and then my mom would find it, and she would eat it. You know what I mean? Because she, like, it's like, I can't have, like, 6 pounds of candy. But she would always pick out, like, the nicest candy, you know what I mean? Like, the little Hershey bars. Did your parents raid your Halloween candy?
Yeah, my parents, I remember, would end up, because I wouldn't eat it fast enough. I was, like, particular about it. Like, I don't like really like sugary things. Like, things that are just, like, straight sugar, like, condensed, so you can put it in your mouth. I like dark chocolates and stuff like that. So I think I would be picky that my parents would end up just eating all of it.
Yeah.
They really like sweet food.
Yeah.
They're all about it. How about you? Did your mom go after it?
Yeah. That's what I was like. It was always like, I wasn't into that much of the chocolate either. I was into like getting it, but then like it's
you
like,
were more happy about the hunt.
Yeah,
you were gonna go to start back up, and they were gonna have to give you shit.
It's like the end game wasn't really.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready to commit to the chocolate. I just wanted to. It was the chase that was exciting.
You just leave it in a pillowcase, like in like under your bed.
Just drop the mic.
Yeah. Walk off.
Everyone's giving out candy today. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I lived in an apartment building, so
you could just go like. House to house, right?
Well, it was weird because it's like.
Or not house to house, you know what I mean?
Because you were in an apartment, would some people not participate? Would a lot of people not participate?
It was all like filled with like old people and like old Jewish ladies and stuff, so like. It would be like kind of would be like weird, like old people candy and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
There were no like fun young parents.
There were
like,
no
had,
like.
So the whole like fucking Butterworth.
Like,
yeah,
it was all like knockoff Oreos. Like
yeah.
Corax or whatever they're called. Clarox,
and,
something
and,
like that.
And the weird, like, marshmallow peanuts that taste like bananas.
Those are disgusting. Dime
store
so
candy?
Barely edible, those fucking peanuts that are orange.
What do they call those little, like, black candies with white dots in them? Like, they're not, like, non-preferals or something?
Oh, non-preferals?
None. Are they nonpareils or like
yeah,
nonpareils
are the ones that are like black, dark chocolate with little white dots all over them, like
yeah.
snow. Snow caps are essentially like dwarf nonpareils.
I don't care what a non. What's a regular pareil then?
I don't know.
That's
like,
not it
well,
for sure.
What does pareil mean? Does that mean like paralleled? Like does it mean unparalleled?
I don't know.
Or am I just reading into it? I don't know. We should ask Max or someone who speaks French.
Nonpareil.
It means to not have.
Yeah. Fuck this pareil.
Yeah. It means fuck pareils. This is what I am. I'm here. You know.
Yeah.
Eat it.
What does it mean? It means fucking eat it.
Put your fucking face. Stop asking questions.
Be a movie right there. Or the neo-Nazis come up to you and make you eat the shit.
Eat all these non-parallels. Eat all these, like, lime-flavored gumdrops. Eat all these fucking banana marshmallows that taste like peanuts. Or vice versa.
White fucking power, man.
What's it mean? Please fucking eat them.
Yeah, eat it. I shat my pants right before the 4th of July fireworks down in Ocean City, New Jersey.
You got excited?
Yeah, it's down the shore. No, I went out to eat with my aunt and uncle and my parents, and I was the only kid, and like, so they were having adult talk or whatever. And fucking, so I drank all of those sparkling apple cider bottles. You know those?
Yeah.
Martinelli's?
Yeah.
I drank three of those at dinner, and this is when I was like 13. And so I had like a steak too. I had like a steak with a whole bunch of mashed potatoes. Drank three of those, and they just like pressed it through my body, and we were walking to the fireworks on the beach. And I, like, stopped, and there's a chain link fence, and I, like, fell on it, like Terminator 2 style, you know?
Oh.
Like, and I was like, something is wrong. And, yeah, and then I just shat my pants.
Whoa.
I actually wrote a poem about that. I haven't performed it yet. Maybe I'll do it next time. Yeah. Everyone shits their pants once in their life.
Check it out. First
yeah.
Friday every month at Cat and the Fiddle.
You're going to get quality shit. It'll change your life.
Luckily, knock on wood, I haven't shit my pants in my adult life, like, since...
That's right. No, I'm just saying once in your life. I mean, it happens when you're a kid. I still remember, like, one of my earliest
memories
is,
worry
like,
about it.
My
you're
5-year-old
gonna get there. You're gonna get there.
I had a 5-year-old friend who shit himself on a merry-go-round. Because, like, the centrifugal force was too much for him, and he shat himself. My mom, I remember, laid down a whole bunch of, like, paper grocery bags on the back, like, ShopRite bags, on the back seat, and he had to, like, take off his shit. And it was, like, a monster shit. And we had to drive him home sitting on these bags, and when he got up, I just remember shit, like, pressed all into it.
It's gross.
Yeah, I felt bad for him.
I've never... It's, like, a great fear of mine. Like, I would, like...
It's gonna happen.
I would, like...
Not as an adult, though. It hasn't happened to me since I was an adult. These are all when I was young.
I would do anything to avoid that.
Yeah.
Almost anything. I'd kill you. I'd kill you and shit tell you.
Yeah. And then
I would
shit inside
the rest
your
of my life with you being dead and me having done it.
I would use your hands, dead, limp hands, to wipe my ass. And then bury you.
And I wouldn't I would feel nothing.
I
remember, do you remember this? I just remember getting in the car. I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but it's kind of like nostalgia of that time when I was like 12. And you would always get in a car and you'd like, oh, I've never like driven with this parent. You know, every parent like has a different driving style or whatever. And I remember, I think it was like Mrs. Vandervliet. I got in the back of her station wagon. And she went so fast down her own driveway that there were several times where I was loose in the back with no seatbelt, and I remember, like, zero gravity just, like, floating because she would hit something,
mm-hmm.
and then there would literally be, like, 1 second of
oh.
airtime.
Yeah.
And then me and my friends were just, like, floating, and then we would hit the
like
fucking...
Like a moment of Duke's Hazard.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we would just hit the fucking... And then bounce, and I was like, holy shit, this mom drives like this! You know what I mean? I was like, what is happening? They're not allowed to break all these laws with the car! You know? I was so fucking freaked out. But, it was actually pretty fun, though.
I have a friend whose dad is extremely wealthy, and he got wealthy. He has like a chemical company, so he's always been wealthy. He's been retired since like I've been friends with this kid. Like he doesn't really work, and so all he would do is work out and like walk around in his boxers all day and like tight like boxer briefs, like form fitting, no shirt, no shoes, no pants. He had hair plugs too, which was like icing on the cake.
Nice.
He was like miserable, like really controlling. Like his house was so perfect. Like if you couldn't use like the sink, use the soap in the sink or the hand towels, you couldn't dry your hands. And all he would do would like we would have to get rides from him. He was that parent who would, like pick us up in Philly. We go to concerts at like the Electric Factory, and you pick us up in a group of like all these other 13-year-olds and like people older our age, and he'd be wearing his boxers, no pants. No short, and you pick up like five of us. Like I had like a girl with me one time, like you know, like a bunch of 14-year-olds picking them up, like pretty much naked with some boxer briefs on.
And like it's not
he just had a whole bunch of money. He drove a Dodge Viper, and fucking he would pick us up in like a Mercedes. But,
yeah, it's like a pristine Mercedes.
Yeah.
It's like perfectly vacuumed, perfectly detailed, but his nuts are hanging out the fucking side of it.
Yeah,
and, like his like house is pristine. He doesn't even like wearing pants in the house because it can contaminate like his soap dispenser. And, like you know what I mean? He's
yeah.
like perfectly hypoallergenic as he walks away.
Yeah, he doesn't want to jerk off any shedding dogs.
It's like he just like shaves his legs so that there's like no like hairs that could possibly fall on the kitchen floor. He's just like very.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like he got to a certain point where like he like had amassed his fortune and like his kids were like moving out. Like you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
he like asserted control over the weirdest things.
It always drives me crazy where like people who have the nicest houses also it's like not functional where you can't really
yeah.
do anything.
You can do the least amount of shit in the nicest houses.
Yeah, you can't. There's like so many rules in those nice houses because everything's so expensive that you can't even fucking hang out with comfortably. You know.
Some people. Get rich.
But then there's always the one family that's like got a little bit of a dilapidated house, but that's a fucking party house that you can bring
yeah.
kegs to and like
that's
fucking get fucked
that's
up.
That's the house where the parents like smoke pot, but
yeah.
it's okay. Like they told their kids when the kids were still 13 and they didn't wait until they were like in college, like graduated.
That's where you like bring your high school girlfriend and go finger banger at that house because
yeah.
the parents have like
that house.
Absentee parents.
You guys gonna finger bang? Cool. Do you want some tarps or magazines?
Yeah, we're gonna be smoking.
If you get
pot.
Hungry, there's a roll of peppermint patties in the fridge. I keep them there.
You kids gonna go finger bang? Great, great. Do you guys want like bandanas or glasses? Whatever, man.
I have
mean,
like a lava lamp. I have some rolled up posters. You might want to put them on the wall. They're pretty cool. They're pretty chill. Or do whatever. I don't know.
You can do whatever.
You guys gonna go finger bang? You want me to like turn the stove off or take down some pictures? Whatever you guys want, you know, whatever's up. Whatever's
do
up.
Want, do you mind if the dog's in there watching you? He's hypoallergenic. It's not really a big deal.
There's some hot tea in the microwave. It's still hot.
Yeah.
I just overheated it way too much and I'm not gonna, I gotta go. So
yeah.
if you want
it's
it.
It's yours if you want it. There's also some lemonade to cool it down, but then it'll be room temperature.
Actually, hey, you guys wanna do like Arnold Palmer's, like the real style with whippets and stuff? I'm cool with that.
Hey,
so
you guys,
whatever you
wait,
want to do, guys.
Hey, as long as we're golfing, anything goes.
Whatever you want to do.
If your two kids are finger banging, do you want me to, like, place an online order for, like, a year subscription to a periodical of your choice? Or do you want me to maybe get you contact lenses to make your eyes look like lizards? Whatever you guys want.
Do you guys want, like, silly hats or any kind of, like,
yeah, I take
like
the lawnmower out of the garage.
Yeah.
You guys getting a finger bang? So you want me to cover up the pool and maybe
just winterize it? Get it ready.
I'll change the tips on the darts.
I don't want me to put any ice cubes or popsicles in the pool filter.
I grew up in there. I mean, I was your age too one time.
Yeah,
you know?
So I relate. I relate to that.
I'm glad you have a house like this because otherwise you'd be doing it somewhere else and it wouldn't be safe.
Yeah, as long as you do it in here. Guys, it's like you finger bang each other in here.
No one's driving after this.
Do you guys want me to leave cufflinks after you guys, or you guys want to find them yourself?
Yeah.
How are you going to get there? That's my question.
Yeah, I'm not... If you need a ride to a concert, I'm kind of not totally for that. But the neighbor, he'll pick you up with his balls hanging out, so.
He's really happy about it. He's somebody.
Yeah.
He's going Thousand Island down there.
Yeah. Just be, don't scuff up his car, because he gets really pissed off about that.
Yeah. But if you want me to, scuff up his car while you guys sing your bang, that would help. I don't know.
It's like in the Murphy Ranch, you know, it's like the first people who came in were like the first guy. They were Nazis. They had all their shit in a row. You know,
yeah.
They were very. They shaved their legs. They had the nice little Nazi hair. And then the next generation, they were
out.
More like the second parents that we're talking about.
They were like hippies. They were like all about the community thing. Somehow it didn't work out.
They were like neo-Nazis rebelling against their Nazi parents.
Yeah.
I don't want to fucking come over. I want to shave my head.
We're Nazis. Don't you... Look, when Hitler takes over, I've explained this 1,000 times, we'll already be way ahead.
Whatever.
You see how many horses we have?
And let's all wear the same Nikes and drink the Kool-Aid, so when the aliens come down, we'll all go right on the spaceship, okay? We're planning ahead. Have the plans. So then I always just bring the conversation back to cults. If you had the cult, guys, what would your cult be? What would it based on? What would, like, be, like, the first... Because it always starts out with a good idea. If you look at any cult, you know, like Jonestown, they were like, I don't like the racial inequality of America. I think that Jesus thinks that all people are alike. And, you know, he started bringing people in. And then they got their own island, you know? And then he just started doing drugs, and then he just went way off the rails, and he was worried when...
He went to, like, South America.
Yeah, yeah. He was in South America, like, on a commune style.
Yeah, commune. And then the, like, congressman came down.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and they shot him.
And that's the only congressman ever to die active duty.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That congressman...
In South America? In, like,
yeah.
Colombia or wherever he was?
And, like, he was gonna leave. He was like, oh, it seems like these people are happy, but these two people want to leave, so we'll just take them on the jet, and we'll get out of here. It looks like you're fine. And then he was, like, so fucking paranoid from taking, like... You know, doing his Arnold Palmer whippets or whatever. He was on so many fucking drugs that he was like, it's over. They know about us. Everyone do drugs. Everyone drink the Kool-Aid. Jesus. And then there's that fucking terrifying final speech.
You just want to run? You to run with him? Because anybody could have run today. They would want to. I know you're not a runner. And I your life's precious to me. It's as precious as John's. And I don't, what I do with weight and justice and judgment. Are you going to separate yourself from whoever shot the congressman? I don't know who shot him. Speaker Pete and those had a right to go, and they had a right to... How many are dead? Oh, God Almighty.
You're the only, and I appreciate you.
Please, can we hasten with that medication? You don't know what you've done.
Yeah, there's that audio.
Let's play some of that. That's inspiring. But that's how it starts, you know, and then how are you going to make your little grassroots movement, you know? What's going to be the first thing that brings people in, you know? Murph?
Free sandwiches.
Yeah?
Yeah. If you want to rule an army, you just need to give out sandwiches.
Yeah.
And at least at first, and I'll figure out the rest. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure everyone will be happy.
Just get a fucking a pack of Wonder and some Oscar Mayer bologna.
Yeah, because there are so many different types of sandwiches that it's like you aren't going to run out of options. People aren't going to be like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
You know, like you can make it like, you know, like you said, like you can do a French dip. That's like a whole different thing from...
You know, if you really want to exert some power, just put everything on a fucking Kaiser roll, au jus style, and just show
just
them.
Just be happy with a little bit of
it brings its own jus. It does this whenever it's told.
Some of our favorites. What's your favorite scene from Here Comes Godot, or your favorite episode? I'd say mine's definitely episode 8, where it seems like... So, basically, the premise is Max and Anthony, played by Anthony and Max... are struggling actors in New York City, and they're trying to just get some respect in the downtown theater scene. And, you know, there's one part where my character wants them to kiss, and then Anthony doesn't want to, and so there's a little argument. Let's play a little clip of that.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's a little bit beyond the extra mile to kiss you on some, like, weird guy with mascaras couch while he's filming us with, like, a fucking flip phone. So you find that a little bit weird? Is that... You want to be that guy?
No, I mean, he's, like, a really famous guy, and... You've been filmed 100 times in auditions before, so don't understand why that would be weird.
You didn't think anything about that audition process was a little bit out of the ordinary?
Sometime during your career, you're going to have to kiss somebody on stage.
So what's your favorite scene, Dev?
I really like the mugging scene. I think that's a pretty funny scene. It's a cool location. We shot it under the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. Also known as the BQE.
Hey, Daisy, you seen a dog around here?
What?
You seen a little dog? I'm looking for my dog,
I haven't seen a dog, man.
I've been looking all over the place.
Fucking move.
Okay, be quiet. Be quiet and give me your money. Reach down your pocket. Okay. Slowly, I got a knife. I will stab you in the fucking asshole. You understand me?
And then also, what I like is, you know, we really show Anthony is like homeless at one point, and then he gets mugged. You know, it's like,
yeah,
really.
Well, that's when Anthony is, you know, getting down to his bottom. So, yeah. He's evaluating his options and his life choices. And it's a very, it's a potent scene with the ending. And I'm quite happy with seeing Anthony struggle like that.
Anthony, what's your favorite scene from Here Comes Goodell?
I do like the Pollo Muerto, Jeff.
Where are you, man?
I'm at El Pollo Muerto at the cul-de-sac where Bushwick turns into a, they call it the Serpent's Tongue.
Oh my God, the place where they have the animals stacked on top of each other, shitting on each other, and then you just pick which one to slaughter.
Yeah, they let the chickens fight, and then they cook it next door. Fun. It's like make your own pizza.
I thought they got shut down by the health department.
Yeah, they closed it down for a while because there was a stabbing and there was a rat infestation, but it turned out that the guy was fine and the rats were from next door, so they're back in negocios.
Hey, what's up, Max? Cool, man.
I'm recording
you for the podcast. I already recorded with Devin and Anthony, and we talked about our favorite scenes from Godot, and I was wondering what your favorite scene is, and then I'll play a little bit of it.
I like the scene when we meet Jackson's dog. I like the jealousy and the envy and the insecurity around me, Cadence and all the things she's doing.
Good to see you. I didn't think you'd come.
It was interesting.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Sorry, it was kind of weird, but, you know, it's like weird material.
This is Jackson Song.
Yeah, hi. Jackson Song. I know, I recognize you. I'm Max Lodge. I auditioned for that Tampax commercial for you a while back. If you remember, I was the confused guy.
Yes, of course. You're
Max Lodge.
Good read.
Thanks.
Good read. So, how have you been? Have you been good?
Yeah, really good. Really good. Working
good.
On a lot of stuff. Yeah,
good.
you know Jackson Song from Deborah Klein Casting.
Song.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever met.
Nice to meet you, buddy.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, of course.
So, a couple things. Really busy right now.
Yeah, I heard you were doing great.
Yeah, things are going awesome.
Yeah.
Here's a postcard for my one-person show, Giggle Time.
Thanks.
About my abusive father. Yeah.
You know, like insecurity of actors and this kind of like subtle game of, you know, passive aggressive, like sort of measuring out who's doing better in their careers depending on what they're working on. And it taps into the anxiety of, you know, like being in something that you're proud of or being caught in a moment when you would rather not be seen on stage and, you know, how people kind of measure up in terms of what they're working on presently. You always have those people that are just like doing like a million things, and you always feel like you're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, and then things just keep getting worse and worse for the characters. Things just get worse and worse for the characters since then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's also funny to talk to a casting director that you've auditioned for and that you didn't maybe distinguish yourself by being very memorable, or maybe it was something like really embarrassing, like. Once I got a part in one of those reenactments for Discovery Channel, like, you know, they cut to, dramatizations, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like history, you know, it's about the Civil War, and it was about this girl, who disguised herself as a man and fought in the Union Army. And I get the part for her as a man. Which is basically saying that I look like an ugly woman. And,
Or so girl, just a girlish man.
Audition spot.
Just a girlish man. That's the role you got nailed on.
Yeah. So that was, it didn't like, I didn't feel the most macho that day, but I got the part.
Yeah. How did you prepare? Did you just have a lot of like fro-yos and go shopping?
Well, it was for a pretty butch girl. I didn't have to change very much.
Okay. If that's your wheelhouse, you know, you might as well market it. So.
Yeah. So.
Cool, ma'am.
Fresh face is what the guy said he was looking for.
So did you have any other parts in your life that were like real life where you like ran into other actor friends that were rubbing any like their success in your face a little bit without naming names?
But in my head they are, you know what I mean?
Right. It's just the way you interpret it.
I'm really insecure about it and overthinking it a lot. Most of the time I think that people are pretty just like kind of talking about what they're doing, and they're probably just as insecure as you are.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're just kind of like, God, how do I make myself look more professional, more rich and famous, more handsome than I am, you know? Mm-hmm. Everyone's got these fears, and you know, we always think that other people are doing all right, but they're usually in the same boat.
Yeah.
Even people are doing well, you know? They're sort of in their own state of anxiety and greener grass. You know, I think that that's very typical of the actor experience, you know, because it's such unstable work that it's easy to catastrophize and think that you'll never work again no matter where you're at on the ladder.
Do you ever feel like angry at your education that they didn't prepare you enough for like all our classes are like, you know, turn into a cat and then crawl around the stage. Oh, that was sound and movement 101. Now you're good at that. But they don't tell you enough of the struggle. They don't really put into perspective your odds of failure, you know, or you know what I mean? Or how
Yeah, I guess you're right. I think that, you know, if we had been to, like, a conservatory, there would have been maybe, like, a class about, like, the business of acting or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, I think that would have bored me to tears. I probably would have forced myself to do it. And I don't know how much I really would have learned from it had I been, you know, I don't think I was really ready to hear about reality, even if it was.
Right.
Maybe because I was living in such a fantasy world as to what... you know, being an artist was about, and I was kind of really ready to be poor and struggling for a long time. And then when that happened, I quickly changed my opinions around it. I think that that's just, like, true in general in education, that, like, we're not really financially literate and we're not really business literate, and that's certainly true in the humanities. But I got a lot out of my education. I mean, I really liked my classes and my teachers a lot, and I think it gave me a kind of like this cool insight into the world of, you know, downtown theater that I was interested in.
Yeah, I did.
It was cool. I got to write and stuff and study my idols, and it's cool.
I did have one teacher called Doug Tarola, who's the president of Fourth Row Films in New York City. But he taught a class called Business of Screenwriting that kind of really lit a fire under my ass as to how fucking difficult it is. Cool, ma'am. All right, that's it. Have a good day, ma'am.
All right, thanks, Eric.
All right, bye, Max.
Talk to you later.
But yeah, I mean, I'm super proud of it. It's like, you know, all in total, it's 17 episodes. It's an hour of content. It took us like 4 years of editing to put it through. And we really meticulously combed through. We had to look at all the different takes. We picked the best and we improvised a lot of it. And I feel like we spent so much time in post-production putting all the best jokes from all the different scenes together. And, you know, it's really something now. Yeah. So check it out.
Yeah. And you can watch it however you want with the whole 17-episode thing. There's also a full, the premiere-length cut, too, if you feel like, you know, dedicating an hour to getting some Godot on. You can watch that in one sitting. It's great for, like, if you have a Roku box and you have the YouTube app, any streaming sort of device on your television, the full-length cut will just let you watch the whole thing without having to skip around. But if you want to watch it on your smartphone or your computer, you can watch it episode by episode at your own convenience. So, trying to make it easy for everyone to get into.
Yeah, and I know so many people come to LA and they're like, oh, we put together a web series, ah, and it's like, not that good. But we spend so much time on it. This shit is fucking killer. So
it's definitely, I think it's cool because it's definitely like a very, you know, kind of beats to the tune of its own drum, you know what I mean? It's not like pandering to any type of kind of, you know, idea of like, you know, what like a short comedy should be like. It's just kind of in this world that is very like rich and is very relatable for people who have been in the entertainment industry or like for other people too. It's just kind of about personal relations and stuff.
And it's kind of existential because it's like, you know, waiting for Godot. It's kind of like you're waiting to, like, just have your big break. You're just struggling, trying to put all your energy in, like, trying to get a job as an actor. And it's like really, people struggle and to the point that's not, it's not glamorous, you know. There's not, it's like real fucking struggle. So, you know, there's so many people.
Not knowing if something's even going to show up at all.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, it's like you're blowing all this money on a production, whatever it is, if you're making a movie or if you're putting a play together, and then you're just like, oh, I hope it's going to be a hit. So before you even know that it's going to do anything, it's always on a prayer. But also, you know, it's like there's so many kids coming, like, I just think of myself, it gives me a lot of anxiety, like the fucking Holocaust of 900,000 theater degree students that are graduate every year and are perfectly qualified to, you know, be an entertainer in a shrinking entertainment industry, you know, where it's like everyone just hustling for the same thing. So I think that this actually honors that as a real thing. It's like the first time thing I've seen that gives like a really you know, realistic look at what it's actually like, you know. You know, like, Trey Parker and Matt Stone were couch surfing while they were putting together, like, the South Park pilot, you know what I mean? But we don't really hear about that. The only thing we hear about is, like, the glamorous life. Look at Entourage. These are actors who are working and they're jet-setting. That's not really what it's like for most people.
Yeah, it definitely comes from a real place, and I think people respond to the honesty in it, and it's also funny. And I think it's more about this world that Godot takes place in that's really, I think, sticks with people. And anyone who's struggled to pursue their own dreams can kind of tap into it. It's very accessible. You don't have to be a theater cat. But at the same time, yeah, it's, you know, it's touching on all these things, very autobiographical, in the sense that it touches on all these things that we felt and we've seen, and so yeah, we're really, really proud of it.
Yeah.
In the last two scenes, I show everybody my vagina.
That happens.
Full
twice.
Frontal.
Mangina
nudity.
One scene.
Yeah. You covered, yeah, you do black bar one scene, but then I insist on it.
Yeah, that was.
We just changed the angle a little bit, and I wasn't as worried.
It's one of people just, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not important. I mean, it is, but it's not.
It'll be bonus material for the app.
Will it, though? Let's not have this
if we
discussion.
Can find it.
Yeah, we should have this discussion off air.
Can we have it soon?
I really want my mangina in that shit somewhere. I think your mangina should be its own app, but we'll talk about that later. That's got its own revenue stream built in. You should donate. People should donate to your mangina.
We're trying to monetize it, but
yeah. So anyway, this has been an episode. Plug in Here Comes Godot endlessly. So you'll start to check us out. I'm going to do Jackie Cation's podcast called Dork Forest next month. We're going to start to, we'll post appearances that we're doing to plug this thing all over the place. Yeah, well, you can't wait for us to plug Godot on other people's podcasts, right?
I'll be at the A&P giving out free small samples of Godot, and you don't have to buy it. You just have to have a little snack.
Isn't that just a cup of Thousand Island?
Pretty much.
Yeah, but we don't call it that.
We call it Russian.
But it's like, so if you render Godot to a condiment, it would definitely be a Thousand Island.
I think it'd be kind of like a type of relish, but I don't know if it would necessarily be Thou-I, which is what people who are close to it call
it. Would it be on a Ritz, or would it be like on a Cars cracker, or...
It'd be on a dry cracker.
I feel something like the second episode, it's more like a hummus.
You know what, the back nine is really like the back nine episodes? Like a seeded Kaiser roll. Oh my god!
Whoa, we're bringing right? everything back.
Isn't that funny, though?
That's yeah.
pretty good.
It's pretty funny when I talk about Kaiser Rolls and that voice, though.
Yeah, let's put
yeah.
it in.
I'm going to put that in my... Oh, wow.
In your autobiography?
Yeah.
I know what song, but I forgot it.
I know what song, but I forgot it. Chapter 1, Donald Sterling jokes.
Yeah, Donald Sterling, actually, he saw it, and he rated it 5 peppermint patties, so that's what he thinks of Here Comes Godot.
And that's, like, the limit. Like,
yeah.
He won't go about that. Even if he really likes something, he'll, like, describe it in the blurb underneath, that it's like he wishes he could give it more, but he's not going to go above 5.
Right after he ripped off his dry skin and revealed himself to be a bat person.
Yeah, we always thought he was a snake. He's actually a bat that molts.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I guess that is what he is. Anyway, that's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. You just listen to Highway Diary, episode 79 with Devin Murphy and Anthony Guarino, shamelessly plugging our Here Comes Godot project.
Here Comes Godot, G-O-D-O-T.
Rico.com. Check it out. All right, later, fuckers.
Estamos rico.